5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us today. A look at current COVID-19 related topics. And Dr. Bob, I wanted to start off asking what the county numbers look like in the past week.
Well, the county numbers in the past week are down. So this is the first week since our big surge in August and September that we've seen a significant decline in the number of cases. So we're now under 30 cases per day, which is great. Still not zero, as we'd like to see, but down from where we were before and kind of following the pattern in Oregon.
And what about hospitalizations and deaths? What are we seeing there?
Well, hospitalizations continue to be in the 20s. We had 4 new admissions yesterday, so we're still seeing a fair number of hospitalizations, and we're still seeing a fair number of deaths. Now, many of those deaths were from earlier on and are just getting counted now, but we're still seeing a fair number of deaths and a fair number of hospitalizations.
For those who have died, what kind of age range are we looking at?
Well, there's a fellow in his 50s today, so we're seeing most of the deaths are in people who are 65 and above, but about a quarter of our deaths are in people in their from birth to my age, which is 65.
Now, of course, we'll have more information coming out. County report actually has not come out yet, the full report. Talk about something that the county put out yesterday regarding the vaccination numbers finally being reported on the federal level and a bit of a change in just how many people you can confirm have been vaccinated.
So early on in our vaccination effort, the VA and the Cow Creek Tribe did an amazing job in giving vaccines. Unfortunately, because they got their vaccines from the feds and reported it to the feds, that data was not available to the state. And so we got undercounted by a fair amount early on, and I got a zillion media requests to explain why Douglas County was so low. Well, just this last week, the data came out that reconciled the federal doses, that is to the VA and to the Cow Creek Tribe, and that number showed there were an additional 14,000 vaccines. Now, in addition, the Cow Creek Tribe has done an incredible job. Not only did they respond to the state, but then they manually reported to the feds, but then they manually reported to the state. So they really did double duty in this whole thing. And what it showed is that there were 14,000 additional vaccinees in Douglas County. Since there were 50,000 reported to the state alert system, plus that 14,000, it brought us way up. So when you looked at that measure, which is those people 18 and above who've gotten a first dose, we were not the highest in the state, but certainly higher than the counties to the south and the east. So that was just a data glitch early on, and we hope that after this pandemic, we learn that data that flows to the feds also needs to flow back in a much more timely fashion.
Well, and that's been one of the aspects of the pandemic, not just this, but there have been other aspects of data that sometimes seems to stay at whatever level of government puts it out and is not always shared with others who would probably benefit from the information.
Well, I think that's true. And it's a delicate balance between protecting people's data as well as having a lot of open data there. So, for example, the VA does not report the street address of people who get vaccines, whereas the state system requires that. So we've got some work to do in the future on reconciling those two.
So with the county numbers here changing so much, did other counties see their numbers change at that level as well?
The only two other counties that had a sizable number were Jefferson and Umatilla counties, both counties with federal tribes. The reason Douglas County changed so much is that we have both a VA, who did a lot of vaccines, and a federally recognized tribe. So when you put both of those together, our number was 14,000. The total for the rest of the state was about 14,000. So about half of those uncounted federal doses were in Douglas County.
Now, where are we in comparison still with counties like Lane County and going further north in the Willamette Valley?
Well, overall, we're still lower than counties in the upper Willamette Valley. We're about the same as the counties surrounding us and higher than the counties in eastern Oregon. Lake County, unfortunately, has the lowest rate of vaccination.
So let's talk about this variant. First of all, maybe you can solve this for me, because with all the national media outlets that we air on our station and all the information we have access to, I have heard what I'm calling Omicron pronounced two different ways. So which one is right?
Well, it turns out that both are acceptable pronunciations. So either Omicron or Omicron are both acceptable pronunciations. So that the fact you've heard both is because both are acceptable.
Okay, well, that actually helps. Let's talk about the variant. What are the concerns with it?
Well, the concerns with this variant is that it appears to be even more contagious than the Delta. And that is a really big concern, because Delta was already pretty contagious. The second thing that we worry about is that the things that we've used in the past related to antibodies, that is either antibody treatments like Regeneron or antibodies that people develop from vaccines, may be less effective. And so having something that's more contagious, and the vaccines and the Regeneron and previous infection actually all being less effective in preventing disease, that's a big concern. Now, the good news is that it appears that it might be less severe. That is, your chance of being hospitalized and your chance of needing oxygen is less with this than the others, but we're still waiting on that data.
Now, what are we seeing from other nations that tend to be a few weeks ahead of us in all this pandemic flow?
So what we're, you know, there are three countries that we're following very carefully. Well, obviously, South Africa. So South Africa had an enormous spike in number of cases, but it appears in the last 3 days like it is coming down. And although their hospitals got full, they didn't get overwhelmed. The second place we're looking at is Denmark. Denmark is a reasonable comparator to Oregon. They've got 5.8 million people. We have 4.2. It's a advanced, fairly prosperous area. What they've seen is an uptick in the number of cases and hospitalization starting in October. However, it's a little hard to know, because they still have a lot of Delta. We're also looking at the UK. The UK has, again, been a good harbinger of what happens in the US. They've seen an incredible spike in cases. In fact, in the last few days, they've had the most cases ever, but their number of hospitalizations and deaths hasn't really budged. Now, I have to do that with a grain of salt, though, because hospitalizations and deaths tend to lag cases by a week or two or three. So when we look, when people get COVID, they don't get hospitalized the first day. They usually get hospitalized on the 8th through 13th day. And if they're going to die, they usually die somewhere between the 14th and 23rd day. And so the fact that we've not seen a big increase in hospitalizations in the UK is a good thing, but it's still a little early.
So if this is not as serious, if that tracking follows, could this possibly be sort of a shorter-term blip on our COVID radar?
Yes, it could be. So it could be a blip. Like in South Africa, their blip was about 3 weeks, where they saw a huge rise in cases, but then a fairly rapid fall. And so it could well be that this is a blip in the number of cases, but doesn't really overwhelm the hospitals. Overwhelming of the hospital is really the big concern.
And is it possible, given everything that seems to work with this virus, that as it goes along from nation to nation, that the impact it has could shift?
Absolutely. So we think it's going to have the most impact in areas that have low vaccination rates and low rates of previous disease. So Douglas County, although we think we've had a lot of disease and we think we've done a lot of vaccinations, we still have probably 25,000 people in our county who have no good immunity.
Now, what about the vaccines? How good are they at combating this new variant?
So the vaccines vary. So the J&J vaccine seems to be less effective. So we're sort of steering people away from the J&J vaccine. The Moderna and the Pfizer work pretty well with two doses. They work really well with three doses. So we're really encouraging people to get boosters. We're going to have a booster event next Wednesday at the fairgrounds, at the Fulton Street parking lot. So the Fulton Street parking lot across the street from the library, we're going to have an event there from 10 until 3, and we're going to be offering boosters at that time. Now, if people need primary vaccines, we'll do that too, but we're really trying to get as many people boosted as possible.
We'll talk more about that event when we come back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN, Lars Larson at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, part of KQEN Local Talk, today at 4 with Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, County Commissioner Tim Freeman. By the way, tomorrow on the morning conversation at 8:30, the Carey Brothers will join us live ahead of their final program after 35 years. When they retire after Christmas Day. Well, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us right now, just starting to talk about this vaccine clinic mainly aimed at boosters that's happening next Wednesday. Now, a lot of folks, in fact, I've been getting messages throughout the last week as the pharmacies at various locations have gone to appointments. Right now, a lot of folks who want to get boosters now are looking at the second week in January. And so you've got this clinic put together, and how many hours is this going on?
So it's going to be at least 5 hours, but we're going to try and get everybody who shows up done. In addition, we are going to get extra help at the Aviva Clinic and other clinics in town so that they can expand the number of patients that they can see. Our goal in Oregon is to get 1 million people boosted by the end of January, and so we're working hard to get there.
Let's talk about some of the recent changes in the protocol and the move away, at least to some extent, from the J&J vaccine.
Well, the move away from the J&J vaccine was because it does show much decreased efficacy against the Omicron. So the J&J vaccine is similar to the AstraZeneca vaccine, and the AstraZeneca vaccine seems to provide very little protection against Omicron. So we're moving away from that. The other reason is that there were some clotting issues. About 1 in 100,000 people had clotting issues associated with the J&J that are not seen with the Moderna and the Pfizer. And so because of reduced effectiveness and the concern about the ongoing clotting issues, there's now a preference for either the Moderna or the Pfizer over the J&J.
So for those people who had J&J, should they be worried or should they just move a little quicker at getting a booster?
They shouldn't be worried. They should just go ahead and get a booster.
And what booster of the Pfizer and the Moderna is one seem to be better for folks that have had J&J initially?
The Pfizer and the Moderna are very, very close, so I would just get whichever one is available.
Now, have there been more breakthrough cases of COVID-19 with the J&J vaccine?
Yes, we've seen slightly more increased breakthrough cases with the J&J, but we've only seen the Delta variant so far. We think with the Omicron, we might see even more breakthrough cases.
Now, with this clinic next week, the emphasis is on the boosters, but you're going to be getting other folks in. Kind of explain the format of how it will work in that parking lot.
It's going to be a drive-through, so we've done lots of drive-throughs before. So we'll go in, people will give just the basic information. They'll go through a tent where we have a number of vaccinators who'll be given the vaccine. We'll ask people to wait for 15 or 30 minutes after their vaccine to be sure that they're doing okay, and then we'll get them out the door.
And folks that have insurance, are they going to be needing to present all insurance cards? How about that part?
Nope. This is going to be totally free, no insurance, no other hassles needed at this time. We're trying to get people in and out as fast as we can.
And so if someone shows up during that event, obviously you can't factor in what the line may be at any given point, but what's your estimate as to how long they might be there?
So our goal is to have one or two cars in line, right? So don't want to have 20 cars in line because that's too long to wait. And if we have no cars in line, that means we're wasting vaccinators' time. So our goal is to have one or two people in line.
We'll talk more about that before we wrap things up here. So this is Christmas week, Christmas is 4 days away. Is that right? What about Christmas concerns with families and close friends gathering?
Well, there clearly are concerns when people gather, because mostly if we have weather like this, they'll be gathering indoors. And we also know that holidays cause people to travel, sometimes long distances, to go ahead and gather. We know there's a tremendous amount of cases in Washington, D.C., and in New York and Boston this month. So if people are either going to those areas or having people from those areas visit here, we worry that they're going to import Omicron. So when we had our big Delta surge in July, it really started around five or six groups of people who came from other states and brought it to Douglas County. And that's the big concern, is that if we have a dozen or so people who visit those areas, they could bring it back and really jumpstart our Omicron surge.
Everybody's way of handling this is somewhat different, and there's a whole lot of discussion in the midst of that in some cases. How do you handle these situations with, in most families, some people are vaccinated, others are not?
It's really hard, because just like at the holiday dinners, you shouldn't talk about religion or politics. It seems that vaccination is the nexus of religion and politics. So we're asking people to be graceful about this. But again, vaccination is going to really stop the spread of this disease, especially the Delta and the Omicron variants.
So as we look on the sort of a path forward in the pandemic, depending on how Omicron comes out, if it continues the way it is, looking like it'll be less serious, or maybe if it shifts, what do you anticipate in the next few weeks and months down the road for Douglas County?
Well, the predictions are always hard about the future. I think there are a couple of ways this could go. Omicron could come. We could have a big wave of Omicron, but not a lot of hospitalizations or deaths. And basically what that would do would be to give some immunity to all of those people who didn't get prior immunity from vaccine or from previous infection, in which case our level of immunity would be high enough that this could really be nearly the end of the pandemic. However, there's a couple of caveats there. One is, if it's more serious than they saw in those other areas, we could see a huge surge of hospitalizations, which could be so hard on the hospital. The hospital is stressed every winter because people get sick with other things. They're struggling with staffing right now, and just other illnesses that come up, like influenza. So the hospital is really struggling right now, and a big surge would be hard. And then the other concern that we always have is that there's nothing to say that there could not be a new variant. So Omicron was a totally new, not totally unexpected, but a new variant. And there's nothing to say that in April of this year we won't come up with a new variant that will cause some other issues. But I mean, I think the good hope, or my fondest wish, is that it sweeps through in January. We have a lot of cases, but not a lot of hospitalizations. And then after that, we have high levels of immunity that will maybe be near the end of this pandemic.
And that kind of seems to line up with the timeline of what happened in 1918.
Could be. The problem with this virus is it mutates much faster than the influenza virus. And so the influenza virus changes once or twice every year or two. This has been changing four times in the last year and really changing. So when the influenza changes, it changes one or two sites. This changed 50 sites. And so this one is mutating much faster than influenza ever did.
Now, as we wrap up, give folks the information they need for this drive-through vaccination clinic 1 week from today.
Yes, it's December 29th from 10 till 3 in the Fowler Street lot, which is across the Fowler Street from the library. You're going to need to bring yourself, if you have your vaccine card, bring that so we can update it. And we expect that it's going to be a fairly efficient event. So if you want to get it, that would be great. The other thing I would remind people is that if you already have that an appointment for sometime in early January and you're able to get the vaccine next week, be sure you call those places to cancel so they can put somebody else in that slot.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer looking at COVID-19. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on today.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.